with a line, and I'll say it now and we'll repeat it later. Remembering without responding is actually forgetting. You can write that phrase down. We'll talk about it a little bit more later. It's in our text. It's something that we're challenged to remember the word of the Lord, and that's part of remembering is actually responding as well. So the final dispute that is brought up here in the passage, remember this format in Malachi is God having an argument with his people, basically. He's saying, hey, here's what you've done. And they're like, what do you mean? How have we done that? And he's like, here's how you've done that, and da-da-da-da-da. And so they kind of go back and forth with six or seven different disputes in this book, this message that God has sent through Malachi, the messenger. And this final one could be summarized kind of like this. It could say, what's the point? What's the point? Have you ever felt like that in your walk with God? I mean, this is real. This is serious now. Like, you've just gotten to a point where things weren't working right, things weren't looking the right way. You weren't feeling it. You felt like you're just going through the motions. It didn't seem like God's blessing was there. Just a tough season. Anybody ever been in a tough season like that? And you're seeing the people around you who are the evilest, most rotten sinners on planet Earth, right? And everything's just going fine for them. They're healthy, and their kids are winning awards, and all their games they win, you know, and your kids are faithful, tithe paying, giving to BGMC and loving Jesus and sick and frustrated. And you're just like, man, what is the deal here? I was supposed to be living the blessed life, right? This was supposed to be working for me. And I feel like, what's the point? This isn't working. What's going on? I've been there. Anybody else? I've been there in a moment like that. And it's that's the key, right? A moment like that. That's the difference, is if we begin to own that and dwell on that, That'll take over our situation. But we have to recognize that we've had moments like that. Maybe a day or two, maybe a whole season of life where you just wondered, what is the point? Why, God, you said to do all this stuff, but the bad guys aren't doing it and they get away with it and it's okay. What's the deal? We get unsettled by a turn of events, or maybe something unfair or unexpected makes a mess out of our situation. And we're asking God, what does it matter? That guy did it all wrong, and look how he's doing fine. And I tried to do it all right, and I'm just struggling along here. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. What's the point? Hopefully you've learned from those situations a little bit. I hope you've learned by now that generalizations and overstatements are not always true, right? Anybody dealt in the world of generalizations where you speak over everything with one statement? And you know that it's just, kids are the best at that, right? Little, you know, they're just the worst. Like this phrase, like, you never want to do anything fun. That's not true. You just not now. You know, it's not this moment. We got other stuff to do. You never let me go out with my friends. Everybody's going to be there. You guys hear these phrases before? Their generalization. Is everybody going to be there? No, because you're not. But besides that, got that. Thank you. But everybody's not going to be there. Certain people are going to be. You're saying everyone, but everyone's not going to be there, okay? You're generalizing. You're making this bigger than probably what it should be. You go to a fast food restaurant. They never get my order right. They do. Maybe 25% of the time, but they, you know, whatever, right? This always happens to me, right? Just heaping it on ourselves. Nobody else, nobody knows the trouble, right? You just start singing your own sadness, right? In Malachi 3:13, God calls a timeout. He's like, whoa, wait a second. Take it easy. Let's talk about this. He says, you're saying some harsh things, you need to stop. And so let's look at the text in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Here's what the word of God says. God says, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. And of course, they respond in typical fashion as the whole book is gone. Yet you ask, what? Just a great phrase. What? What do we say against you? Just love saying it like that. And then the next verse says, you have said, it's futile to serve God. That's basically saying, this is pointless. What is the point, God? We've done all this stuff. What is the point? What's this get? This is getting us nowhere. It doesn't make any sense to us. He says, what do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord? The next verse in verse 15, it says, but now we call the arrogant blessed, and certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. So they're calling out this list of stuff that they're just like, this is how we see it, God. What's the deal? We're trying to follow you. You say to do this, and we try to do it, and it doesn't change things. What's the deal, man? What's going on? And they're feeling that frustration. This argument format of Malachi, these verbal jabs at God, get lashed out, and God responds with truth. The generalization is made, but God responds with truth because they didn't see the point in serving God. They had done the required steps. They went by his rules, and they thought it didn't work, like a spell they were trying to cast, or it was broken or useless kind of thing. They're trying to manipulate the situation. We did all this stuff for nothing. And surely you and I have been there at different times. We've prayed, we gave, we did this and we did that and all that. And for what? God and his prophet make a clear point here with the next phrase in the next verse. It says this in Malachi 3:16. Then those who what? Feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honor his name. Now, this is where the generalization gets turned a little upside down, because we're generalizing that all of Israel's a bunch of rotten punks, right? Like, they're all complaining and whining and are all fussing about this. But God says, there's a group of them that feared the Lord. They got together and said, wait a second, let's talk about this. And they talked with each other. They talked to the Lord. They're like, hey, this isn't pointless. This is the value of the fellowship of the body of Christ, because we can get together and say, is this pointless? And somebody amongst us will have a level head and say, no, this isn't pointless. God is faithful. And somebody else will say, yeah, because he did this in my life. And yeah, because he did this in my life. And we'll get the word of God reiterated through the body of Christ around us. And that's what they did here. They gathered together and they were like, hey, let's talk this out a little bit. Praise the Lord, not everybody in the body of Christ is a knucklehead, right? Hallelujah. You guys are not too happy about that. Maybe you're the knucklehead. I don't know. Okay. But praise God that there's where we can come together in the body of Christ. And we can encourage one another. We can talk this out and reason together and say, you know what? This isn't just about how I feel right now. There's truth that this needs to stand on. And the truth is that God is faithful. May not look like it or feel like it right now, but he is faithful and he will be faithful. And so they got together because they feared the Lord. That's a key phrase. If we don't fear the Lord, if we're just manipulating the system, if we're just playing our cards right so we get into heaven someday, that's not going to work too well for us. Amen? If we're just trying to step in the lines and God says do this and don't do that, so we're just kind of walking the lines a little bit and making sure we don't make a big mess so that we can still get into heaven but still do as much of what we want along the way, then we're probably not doing this thing right, and we're going to experience a lot of frustration. You're going to experience a lot of upset and disappointment about how this is going, because God's not just a rule blesser. God is a relationship God. He's not just out to make you obey a set of rules. He's guiding you through a relationship. It's a very different process. We're not just playing Simon Says here. We're getting to know somebody. Amen? So those who fear the Lord talked it out and walked with them. There's a distinction between those that were firing jabs at God and those who feared the Lord. You can be honest with God and you can let loose and tell him what you're thinking. Any question, ask him anything, you're not going to stump him. But there's a line that we need to make sure we understand, that he's God and I'm not. It's a key phrase that we've really got to apply to our lives sometimes and say, you know what? I don't have all the intel. He does. So I've got to trust him. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's an essential foundation in a holy and a true fear of God. Not a terrified, immobilizing fear that cripples us or paralyzes us. Oh, no, I don't know what to do. That's not the kind of fear, but it's a healthy, insightful fear that mobilizes and enhances everything that we're going through. If there's a fear of God in that way, a healthy fear will keep you alive in a difficult situation, right? Instead of paralyzing you, if there's a piano falling from the roof of a building, a paralyzing fear says, "Ah, I don't know what to do," and stands there and gets crushed, right? A healthy fear says, "That's going to hurt. I'm going to move." That's the difference in a healthy fear and a terrorizing, paralyzing fear, okay? And that's the healthy fear of God that we're supposed to walk in. They're notably different from the scoffers and cynics that only see the surface or the right now. They're different than those who lead with feelings and rush to judgment. Those that fear God hear all this chatter, all these disputes, and they talk it out with holy fear. Now let's look at these next couple of verses here, because these distinctive crowds have different results. That's the key here that we need to understand today. In verse 17 and 18, "On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him." Verse 18, "And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." God is making it clear to us that we will see that distinction in time. Maybe not today or every single day, but God will call it to account. We can trust it, because here's the thing, is we love God's mercy, right? Somebody's walking in God's mercy today. You realize that, right? Someone is walking in God's mercy today. They have not found who he really is, and God is giving them time today. We're like, "God, call it to judgment." Well, that'd work fine for those of us who know him already, but that would hang those people out to dry. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, so he's giving them time. And we're like, "God, why don't you bring it down?" And God's like, "Give me a second. I gave you a second. How about giving them a second?" Right? And so God says, "Hang in there," and here's what he's saying. There's going to come a distinction where I separate the wicked from the righteous. It will happen. Trust me. It's going to happen. And when we talk about that, that's called, in apocalyptic or in prophetic literature, it's called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a dreadful and wonderful thing at the same time. Amen? Because God is bringing his judgment, and praise the Lord, righteousness is being done, and oh my goodness, people are going to suffer. It's wonderful and awful at the same time. They wanted to see the line, the edge of where good enough was in these passages. They want God to reveal it as obvious and plain. And he says, "I'll make it very clear." It's those that don't serve God, or those that serve God and those that don't. But that's too easy. It's not very clear. How much do you have to serve God? That's what people like to know, right? Not am I serving God or not. How much? That's where we're at, right? How much do I have to give? Oh, tithe. And a missions office? And? Huh? What? If you're trying to find a borderline, you're missing the point of relationship. "Baby, I want to go out with you and spend all my time with you until a certain time of day. Then I got stuff to do, girl. We're out of here." Right? You've got all 50% of me, baby. It's yours. That doesn't work in a relationship. God wants it all. He wants everything. He wants the holistic thing. And if you're trying to walk a line of how, what's the age-old teenage question? How far is too far? How far is too far? The wonderful debated question, how do you know if you've committed the unpardonable sin? Everybody wants to know, can I still get in here? Where's the line? Where can I draw it so I can do as much as I want, but still make sure I'm safe? And that is the wrong question. We're asking the wrong question. What should the question be? Not how much of me can I have and still have you, God? It's how much of you can I have, God, and who cares about me? If I'm truly fulfilled in Christ, then why am I trying to do my thing? Why don't I do his thing? Amen? We're asking the wrong question. We're trying to be two different people. It's clearly the heart of the matter in Malachi 3 and 4, and as a matter of fact, for the whole series. They're trying to manipulate and work through a system so that God will bless them so they can do what they want, instead of changing their want to having God's blessing. That's the key. My desire has to change to want God's blessing. I want to do what God wants me to do, not just do what I want to do and then have God bless it. There's a big difference there, right? And that's the heartbeat of this message and this whole series, is going from the head to the heart, going from a real list of rules and regulations to a real relationship that says, God, I need you in everything. I need you as much as possible. I need you more than I can express. Much like the song we just sang, it has to become a heart matter, not just rules and data and information. Instead of trying to do the bare minimum, we do the all-out best that we've got. The Israelites' worship was insincere. It was appeasement. It was a manipulation of a rigid system. Is that what our lives have become? That's a question we have to answer, isn't it? Is that what our lives, our faith has become? A set of show up on Sunday at this time, do these certain things, open your Bible this many times a week, and you're still good with God, write the check at this amount, and you're still okay? If it's just a set of rules and a rigid system, then we're missing it a mile long. We're missing out. God says he'll work this thing out. I can't expect to play church and expect God to flow in my life. That doesn't work. I can't just play along church and expect God's blessing to flow. The day of the Lord is a wonderful and terrible concept. For those right with God, it's a glorious and sought-after day of completing a lifelong journey. It's payday. Results finally in hand. God making it right. It's worth it all. For those not right with God, it's the end. It's also payday. Results in hand. God setting it right. Judgment day. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, the word says this. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day is coming that will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. We're talking about serious, lengthy results and outcomes. I had a rose bush in my front yard at a house, the first house we ever owned. I did everything I could to kill that thing. I did not want it there. Anybody ever had a bush like that in your yard you just can't get rid of? I would nip that thing down to the ground. I would mistreat it. I would speak evil things to it, you know, whatever. I would dig as deep as I could get to pull as much as I could out of that thing. And you know what would come back? Roses. Just kept coming back. I'd plant something, roses. Just this ugly little thing, just these nasty little roses. They're not the big, you know, the big give to your wife roses. They're just these little spattering of rose bush roses. I was like, I don't want that thing in my yard there. I couldn't get rid of it. I kept trying to cut it away and do it. A destruction fire, if you've dealt with a plant like that before, I couldn't get rid of that thing. But God says this kind of judgment that's coming, like a fire that burns through, it'll burn off the branches and it'll burn off the other stuff, but not even a root will survive. There's not even a chance of making it through. This is serious judgment that's coming. The end is coming, that God says. It's going to happen, and it's final. It is eternal. There's no going back. There's no, oh. Because all the time when God spoke about punishing Israel for their sin, there'd be a root or a branch of David, right, that would survive. The root of Jesse would thrive through because God would be faithful in his promise. God's saying there's coming a time not a root or a branch is going to even make it. This is it. This is the cutoff. This is the time. Be ready for that. That's what he's saying here. Pretty strong language that we have to understand. A fully accountable and final judgment that God is giving. His mercy is stalling it, but it's promised and it's coming. Also coming is what makes it worth it all in verses 2 and 3. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his ring, in his rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Anybody want to be a well-fed calf? Okay, anyway. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. The messenger reminds us that God will bring ultimate reward, not just ultimate judgment. It's both sides. For those that of us that revere and fear him and honor his ways, he brings blessing and life and victory. For the Jews that had been trampled on for generations, this was a powerful hope. They're like, remind us of that again. Tell me that story again, God, how this is going to work out, because I've never seen it work out. Our people haven't seen it work out for generations. We need to see this work out. For we that see evil rising and sin invading and righteousness under attack, we have hope. God is trying to help us out here. You want to know what the point is? This is just the beginning. This is just a season, a phase. Hang on and follow me, is what God is trying to say. The heart of the Lord is laid wide open for us to recognize. The messenger is pleading his case. And this is the final word. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Here's what the prophet says. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. God basically finishes up by saying, hey, remember the law. Remember what I've told you to do. He's referring back to all of it, saying, just remember what I've already said. Don't forget, right? Here's that last line I want to share with you. And this is kind of what really strikes at our heart today. Remembering without responding is actually forgetting. To say, hey, remember this for me. Remember this. Yesterday we wanted to measure Ethan. It was his half birthday, and we have a ruling stick measure in our house. And we measure him, and he's growing. He's grown 2 inches since his birthday. It's happening. Here it comes, right? He's thrilled. And I said, hey, we started doing it in the morning. And I said, hey, let's wait until the evening because you might grow today a little more and it'll get the full measurement of the height here, okay? So put a reminder in your phone and we'll make sure we do that before we go to bed. Later on in the day, it was almost time. He's getting ready to go to bed. And I was like, oh, we didn't measure. And he hadn't put a reminder there. Because remembering, if I say remember something, but we don't actually respond to it, it's like forgetting. Remember this. And if we don't respond to that, it's like forgetting. It's like we just ignored it. And that's what God is saying about his truth, about his word, about all of his instruction that he's trying to show them. I want to bless your life. I want to flow in your life. Just remember what I've showed you how to do this. I've shown you how. Just remember those and put those things into practice. And they're like, oh, that's all it takes. But I mean, we knew that, right? We knew that honoring and obeying the Lord is what brings it. But somehow we forget in the process. And we've got to learn to respond to the Spirit and the Word of God. It's not just about memory. It's about the power that God has entrusted to us to determine our outcome. Isn't that a little bit too much authority we've been given? Does anybody else ever feel like, God, you trusted me way too much with this? I wish you'd have made this a little more you and not me. But he fully gives it to us, right? He gives us the full opportunity. If you want God to flow in your life, do what he says. If you want to do your own thing and do your own ways, you'll bring judgment on your own head. That's just the bottom line of it. This would seem awful if God's ways were crooked or twisted or mean or selfish, but all he does is give and bless and heal and strengthen and provide and love and love and love. Brooke, if you'd come help me out closing this morning. And Austin, you can help out too, please. As we conclude today, I want us to realize that God is revealing through his messenger Malachi. He's been speaking to us. He's been challenging us. The first thing he reminded us was he loves us. Don't ever forget that. If you forget that, then all of this just seems like a bunch of bossy rules. But this is all done in relationship, and God loves us. All honor and all authority belong to him. He wants us to remember that we are messengers of this opportunity. We are. We're not just recipients, but we are the carriers of this good news. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? That's what God's trying to express to us. He's trying to remind us of that. Our faithfulness and commitment should resemble his with our marriage commitments and our fidelity. When the time is right, his mercy will give way to his justice. He wants to remind us that we cannot rob God and expect his blessing. Isn't that just obvious? But it's forgotten at times. And today he's reminding us to choose today if you prefer his blessing to his judgment. It seems so simple, doesn't it? God has spoken with uncomfortable clarity. Now here's the deal. How do we respond? I say uncomfortable clarity because God has read our mail. He's challenged us with our finances and our giving. He's challenged us with our deepest and most sincere relationships and our fidelities. He's challenged us to the core of who we are. And he's challenging us to just clear the way. Just get this stuff out of the way and watch what I can do. God wants to do such amazing things through your life. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is not a ooey-gooey feeling. This is just truth of God's word. He is a good, good father who wants to do great things in your situation. But he cannot and he will not bless the messes that we've made. He asks us to clear the way. And he's loving enough to where he won't even just clear it for us because Brooke got to clear Molly's room out a little bit yesterday. You know how that went. Well, no, I need that. Well, no, I want that. Give me, wait, what about, I don't, And she's just, stuff that hasn't been touched in forever. Oh, no, I don't, oh, all sore and she gets all sad about it, right? And we're saying that because she's a little kid, but we're exactly the same way. If God came through and cleared things out for us, we'd be like, why'd you do that, God? We'd get so mad at him. And so God says, I'm here if you want me. Come and get it. Clear the way. Make room. I'm showing you how. This is how it's done. If you want God to bless your life, clear the way. If you want God's blessing to flow through you, clear the way and let him move. Amen. Now, the response time is this morning. I know it's time to go, and I know you've got places to be, but this is the last of our series of this, and I just really want to apply this hardcore, if we could take a few minutes and do that today. I want to give us a chance to respond right now, because remembering without responding is like forgetting, right? And so let's take a moment and respond, and I want to invite you to come and say, God, clear the way in my life. I'm going to clear the way. I'm going to get everything out. God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to change. Show me how you want me to do this. Show me what's holding up. Show me the stuff that's blocking your flow in my life. What have I done that's blocked the way? Reveal it to me, God, so that I can do something about it. I'm challenging each of us. My heart's there as well. I don't want anything in my life. I don't want my habits, my routines, my supposed righteousness to get in the way of what God is doing. Amen? I don't want even sinful thoughts or negative things that I'm doing to move into the way. So Pastor Jerry's leading the way, and I'm asking you to take a chance this morning and respond and say, God, I'm clearing the way. I'm going to step up, and I want you to flow in my life in ways like I have never seen. God, I need you more than I've ever needed you before. I need you to work in my situation. I need you to reassure me that you are coming through, that you are not going to leave or forsake, but you are faithful. God, I need you to show up in my situation. I need to give my life deeper and fuller to you so that you can flow in my life, so that you can bless the situation that I'm stuck in. God, I feel like you're far away. Come near today, Lord Jesus. Come near today, Lord God. Fill me with your spirit, Lord God, so I can walk in power and authority today. Fill me with boldness of the Holy Spirit so that I can pursue you. Take me on that journey, Lord God. Lead me where you want me to go. Show me how you want me to live.